Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, hopefully, they're going to be the views of Peter Schiff, who is a financial advisor, and I've read some of his material, and I would think he is certainly one of the most astute people out there. Apparently, his father, is, I've actually interviewed him. He was trying to educate the American people about the income tax situation, but certainly we're not going to be talking about that today. We're going to be talking about what's really going on today. And, of course, as you know, Mr. Paulson in the past has talked about, you know, that he was going to save half of that $700 billion he got and he was given to start buying up the whole housing mortgages, defaulting housing mortgages so people could remain in their homes. But he changed his mind after he got his hands on the $700 billion. And I remember him going on to nationwide television and saying, this is for Main Street. This is to help the people. This isn't for Wall Street. It's for Main Street. And then as soon as he got his hands on the money, he forgot about the common people who are losing their homes and started transferring massive amounts of money to his friends on Wall Street because he came from Wall Street and he's very, very close to Wall Street. Well, under any circumstances, Henry Paulson has told us until recently that he was going to save $350 billion of the $700 billion he was given. He was going to save that for the incoming Secretary of the Treasury. His good friend Timothy Gartner, who, of course, actually is a member of the same elite group that Mr. Paulson belongs to, and they all belong to the Council on Foreign Relations. They all attended the latest Bilderberger Conference along with Ben Bernanke, Geithner, Bernanke, and Paulson all were at the latest Bilderberger Conference. But, of course, Geithner is even at the higher level and is a member of the Group of 30. Now, you may not have heard of the Group of 30. It's known as the G30. It's the wise men who control the world. There are 30 of them. And, of course, you'll find, interestingly, two of them happen to be from the on the financial team of Barack Obama. Two of the 30 of these, six of the people there, and they've come from the council, come from the Trilateral Commission, and several of them come from the Council on Foreign Relations. This group is led by Paul Volcker, who is the chief economic advisor working behind the scenes. And whenever you see a picture of Barack Obama, you'll almost always see a very tall man, much higher than Barack. He's wearing a blue suit, balding, gray hair. That's Paul Volcker. And he is certainly one of the most powerful men in the world today. He's a member of the Trilateral Commission. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He goes to the Bilderberger meetings. And he's also the director of the Group of 30, the people who really run finances for the whole world. They call them the wise men or the G30. And the fact that you've never heard of them is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists over what the American people think. But actually, Henry Paulson has now said that he thinks he's going to have to get that other $350 billion that he was given, that he was sort of saving for Timothy Gartner when he came in. He's probably going to have to use that to try to stabilize the stock market. And I ask why. I mean, they've already been manipulating the stock market. The stock market isn't dropping on its own. They manipulate it up and down like a yo-yo, simply on a daily basis. And the average individual has no idea what's really going. They honestly think that we have supply and demand, and we really don't. They control our emotions by what they do with the stock market. If you don't believe this, go up on the internet and look up the Working Group on Financial Markets. The Working Group on Financial Markets, made up of all things, the people from the first from the Federal Bank of New York City, of the Fed, the SEC, and of course the U.S. Treasury. Mr. Paulson, we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. And we hope later in the program to have Peter Schiff with us. Peter Schiff is an economic analyst and does a great job, advising people about what's going on today. And having read some of his material, I find it fascinating, and I think it's going to be very, very important for you to hear what he has to say, because he sounds like one of the leading economic forecasters who's telling the truth. And believe me, there are not very many of them. Most of them are telling you, oh, we're just about at the bottom, things are going to get better next year. No, ladies and gentlemen, things are not going to get better. The whole financial system is going to fall apart, because that's exactly what Mr. Paulson and Mr. Bernanke and the people they work for, want. In fact, Mr. Paulson is a very, very wealthy man. He worked for, 22 years for Goldman Sachs, and during that time he amassed a fortune which is estimated to be $800 million, almost $1 billion, Mr. Paulson. That's, of course, why. Of course, he was sent to Wall Street. And, of course, he was sent to Washington, D.C., by the Wall Street elite, of which he was part. And he was sent to Washington, D.C. to actually supervise the transfer of literally trillions of the American tax dollars to Wall Street. And what was the first thing he did when he got his hands on the $700 billion of TARP money? Why, he gave $125 billion of that to his friends on Wall Street, or lent it to them. I doubt they'll ever pay it back again. And then, of course, he spent another $150 billion of that $350 billion, giving it to various banks. And although he had promised he was going to try to help the poor people who were losing their homes, that's the last thing that he wants to do, because after all, if they were to solve the problem, how could they justify continuing to transfer the wealth of the American people to the financial elite of this country? And of course, they're the people who tie into what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, or the financial elite, or the invisible government, or the Eastern establishment. But they're very real. They hold meetings. And, of course, they know who one another are. They help one another. But the most important thing of what everybody has really missed is they've analyzed what's going on, and they can identify all these organizations, is the common spiritual force behind all of them. And until people understand that we're really involved in a spiritual battle, there is a supernatural, that they have their people, and I'm talking about the people from the occult, actually planted in the financial organizations and spheres. You can't understand anything going on. If you want to verify that, you give us a call. We'll send you a copy of one of their publications called The Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, our regularly scheduled guest is not available. Hopefully, he'll be available before long, so we're going to have to do open lines, and I have nothing prepared. So if you're out there across America and you have something you'd like to talk about, or you'd like to talk on what's happening financially, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and give us a call, and of course we'd love to talk to you. Well, because this is the time when we really need to try to get people looking at what's going on today. And of course the market was down dramatically last week. Then on Friday it came back up again. And if you notice what's going on, all the stocks go up, and it's simply a matter of manipulation. We no longer have free markets, but then we've never really had free markets. The commodity market is manipulated. The stock market is manipulated. Our reality is manipulated. I mean, during the last election, how many people talked about the fact that Barack Obama was being financed by the very same people who were backing and financing John McCain. And of course, Barack Obama now has totally surrounded himself with members of the Council on Foreign Relations, members of the Trilateral Commission. His new choice for Secretary of the Treasury, Timothy Gardner, comes from the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, and the Group of 30, but nobody's going to tell you that. He's going to replace Henry Paulson, who's the Secretary of the Treasury, who comes from the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers. And the more things change, the more they say the same. Well, let's go to Robert, who's calling from Salinas. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Robert. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Dr. Stan. It's an honor to be on the air talking to you. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing good, sir. I am. I had kind of a question that's out of the topic you're talking about today. I actually have not fortunate enough to listen to your station today right now. Where I'm at, I can't get the station, but I know what you're talking about, Bilderberger. I actually called, and I didn't know you were on the air right now, and I actually got lucky to speak with you.
Quite fine.
I had a quick question for you about investing. I'm so sorry to go off the topic. I'm about investing in gold. Do you have a resource? Maybe it would help everyone else who's listening too. I know it's extremely important to begin investing in gold, and I know you have some sources on that. And I would love if you could give me some information as to who I can contact.
All right, fine. Well, first of all, both John, pardon me, Ron Brown and Melody Cederstrom do support Radio Liberty, and if you call me off the air, we can give you their telephone numbers. And, of course, Midas Resources carries our programming and carries this hour as well. So if you'd like to call me off the air, we'd be glad to give you the telephone numbers of all three of those groups. But first of all, I want to tell you one thing, and that is diversify. Certainly you want to have gold, and then you should have some silver. And then you may want to invest in gold and silver stocks. Do not put all of your eggs in any one basket. I think that gold and silver stocks are going to do very well down the line, because certainly if we read the elite publications like Foreign Affairs magazine, published by the Council on Foreign Relations, there have been several articles within the last year suggesting that we're going to have a new global currency that will be privately issued and backed by gold. So, I mean, I think that there's a pretty good chance that gold is going to go up. Citigroup, one of their analysts, said that they thought gold would hit $2,000 by the end of 2009. It could go a great deal higher than that. We're just going to have to wait and see. But Sydney, if you call us off the air, we can put you on hold and get my producer to take your telephone number. I'll call you, and I'll give you some telephone numbers of people who deal with this. But my suggestion to you is shop around and be sure whoever you deal with is honest, and certainly the people I've mentioned are honest people. Okay?
You got it, sir.
Okay, God bless, and I'm going to put you on hold and see if we can get Leticia to get your number, and we'll give you a call. I won't be able to call you the first of the week because I won't be. I'm pretty busy this evening, but I will call you next week, okay?
I appreciate that, Dr. Stan.
God bless. And let's go to Dwight, who's calling us. Let's see, Dwight. We're going to talk to Dwight from Berkeley, California. Hi, Dwight. How are you doing?
How you doing, Dr.
Smith? I'm doing just great.
I was noticing you're talking about the trust of the 1890s, and it kind of made me wake up because I'm working in big pharma, and it's starting to look like the jungle all over again. And
you're absolutely right. And same problems all over again. Greed and corruption are the order of the day in big pharma, and many of these tie into these same great fortunes. And I, at one time, I knew who owned Merck and Pfizer and all those, but believe me, the robber barons are working right there, and they're really distorting the whole situation. They're pushing drugs they never should. I mean, the statin drugs are one of the greatest scams of all time, and yet, of course, millions of Americans take them every day and getting all sorts of problems from them, where, of course, the problem of atherosclerosis is not the cholesterol level, it's the calcium in your system. But they're not going to tell the American people that. We're talking about $100 billion a year business, poisoning the American people, and the FDA and government will let them get away with it. Anything else, Dwight? Do you actually work within the pharmaceutical industry?
Yes, I've worked for three big companies here in the Bay Area, and I've noticed that the chairmen of these boards are they're chairmen of like several different high corporations: Google, Yahoo, Genentech. Big pharma companies are all run by the same people. The board members are. It's universal to them.
They say the more things change, the more they remain the same. And this is how you do it. You do it with the interlocking boards of directors. In fact, Dr. Dennis Cuddy was with us this last hour, and he was simply talking about when they so-called broke up the trust, back in the early 1900s. And they split Standard Oil into about five companies. And then there was Standard Oil of New York, and Standard Oil of New Jersey, and Standard Oil of Ohio, and Standard Oil of California. California and maybe Standard Oil of Texas. I forgot what they were. And everybody says, boy, that's great. We've broken up that that trust. But they were all controlled by the same people. The same people sat on the board of directors of all the various Standard Oil companies. And it was all a charade to make the American people feel that something was being done. And made Teddy Roosevelt look like, he was against the big trust. And he was working hand in glove with them. Okay, anything else?
Well, you're talking about statins, and I studied chemistry and a lot of things, and I hear like these things about niacin, but you know they would never want you to know that because
sure, of course they wouldn't. And the thing is that the statin drugs, how do they work? They work by poisoning your liver, by suppressing your liver, and your liver ordinarily produces cholesterol. And of course, if you look at the statistics, I mean, half the people who die of a heart attack have normal cholesterol levels. And if you really examine the statistics, for instance, Lipitor had a great scam. And basically, you saw these big advertisements in the paper that said 30% decrease in heart attack. And then a little tiny print, they said, if 100 people took the placebo, 3 of them died. If another 100 people took Lipitor, 2 of them died. So the difference between 2 and 3 is 30%. And people read the 30% and say, gee, that's wonderful. But, I mean, of course, the Lipitor probably worked simply because it's an anti-inflammatory, and there's an inflammatory component to hardening of the arteries. But I sure wouldn't want to take a drug like that with all the side effects for a 1% difference in mortality.
I almost feel like writing a sequel to Sinclair's book right now. I'm kind of disturbed by it all.
Well, I'll tell you what, we have some great material. We've got a great 4-tape set on statin drugs. And you need to get the information, and then you need to help us get it out. We have, of course, a great book. It was written by Marcia Angel, used to be editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, on what you should know about the drug companies. And, of course, they put so much pressure that she lost her job as a New England Journal of Medicine. And she came under such harassment, she wouldn't even answer emails. She's an instructor at Harvard today, but you're not supposed to tell the truth. And I will tell you that the drug companies were tracking them because I talked to a fellow who worked for one of the big drug companies. We did a debate on John Lefler's program. And during the course of the conversation, it came out that they were tracking everything she did. And I suspect they're tracking what I do, too. Anyway, do I have anything else I want to say? Because we got a full board.
No, that's it. Thank you for your time.
God bless, and just help us to get the truth out. That's all we can do. Thanks so much. Let's go to Dave in Texas. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Dave. What part of Texas are you in? Dave, are you there? Well, I don't hear any Dave, so... we'll go up to Kent in West Virginia. Hi, Kent. And Dave wants to call back. We'll be glad to talk to him. Hi, Kent. Did you have something? What did you want to talk about?
Yeah, a couple of points, Dr. Stan. I watched the BBC get a news, half an hour news in the morning and evening here in West Virginia. And they've always featured, like, when the economy was booming, they always featured, like, a 3 or 4 minute segment on the business, you know, and blah, 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 and what, you know, all these deals and everything was hunky dory, and have a crawl down along the bottom of the screen, and has, you know, you're familiar with, you know, and has like markets,
sure.
You know.
Right.
I've noticed in the last, I think it started this week, there's no business reports, and that crawl, the crawl was still there, but there's no information about the markets on the crawl, so they were sort of, business is off the agenda for the BBC.
Well, of course, you know, the market was down this morning. That I saw there at the end of the day, it was up a couple hundred points. But it's all being manipulated. And till people understand the working group on financial markets, that's the working group on financial markets. You can check it out on the Internet. There's all sorts of articles up there going into the fact that they've been manipulating the stock market for a long period of time. But I think we're in real trouble. In fact, even Henry Paulson is asking for another $350 billion. You know, actually, in my latest newsletter, I cover what they put out in the month, in the year 2008. It's over $7.8 trillion. $7.8 trillion that they put out. And of course, that doesn't include the $2 billion, I think 90% of that for Citigroup we're on the hook for, and another $500 billion for AIG, cover their derivative debt, We're interested in some very difficult problems. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Kent, did you have something else you wanted to cover? Because I share your concern. And certainly when you watch television, you have to understand your mind is being controlled. Sometimes BBC has some information we don't get here, but remember, the hands of these people who run the world are in BBC, just like they're in PBS and really every major network. Once in a while, you hear something that's true, but not very often.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you 100%. You can see that when one topic on the agenda occurs, it occurs across the spectrum. You'll tune in, like say the Dutch, the German, the BBC, in the same program, the same report occurs almost exactly in the same time. The same 2 minutes into the program. So it's all coordinated. Obama with the change, I think what we really have is exchange, because notice we get all he's doing is changing up former ex-members of the administration. Like when Little Bush came in, he brought in Daddy Bushes. He exchanged the old one for the Daddy Bushes. And I don't think we have change. I think we have exchange.
Oh, well, I think we're going to have a change, but a change for the worse. I didn't think we'd get anything worse than George Bush. But certainly Obama promised to get our troops out of the Middle East, and now he's talking about expanding the war over there in Afghanistan. And, of course, he's keeping on Robert Gates, former director of the Central Intelligence Agency, who's one of the architects of this whole thing. I mean, why would anybody think that things are going to change with Robert Gates there as Secretary of Defense?
Well, that's atrocious. I mean, I guess he's securing his future, I guess, because nobody will do anything to him unless he plays the game.
Well, I'll tell you what, of course, Obama has certainly gone out. He's got a lot of very smart people, but they all come from the same little club. Many of them, of course, have served in the Clinton administration. So many of them are members of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Group of 30, the Bilderbergers. And it's like, I'm sure they must just have a great time laughing at how foolish we are. Because the average American has no idea that there is an elite out there who really control our government. And that was the thing is that our founding fathers recognized that left alone, people would vote themselves into tyranny. That is why they specifically limited the power of the federal government so we could never vote ourselves into tyranny. But because we've forgotten the Constitution, because they no longer teach it in law schools or in universities or in our high schools, and they've convinced our people that we are a democracy, which we're not, our founding fathers gave us a republic. What a shame we haven't kept it.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Stan.
And God bless. Well, thanks very much. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And let's go to Dan, who's in Pennsylvania. Hi, Dan. What part of Pennsylvania in?
Dr. Stan, I'm in South Central. I'm about south of State College, Penn State, Nittany Lions.
How are you hearing us there? Are you hearing us?
Shortwave, coming in loud and clear.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that. Anyway, would you have a question or comment?
Yes, kind of both in one, but, I hear people talking, and I listen to Pastor Butch all the time, and you, of course, and other places, and people call in, and, this is has a Christian format to it, the overtones, but, our everybody's calling about money, it seems like. Well, Pastor Butch, I've been thinking about this, and, one of the greatest currencies a person can have right now is to acquire a whole bunch of the Holy Spirit.
You're absolutely right.
Because that currency is redeemable, pun intended, for everlasting life.
Right. Hang on here for just a minute as we bring our other stations. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, we're just waiting for our regularly scheduled guest to be available. So if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But go ahead and give us a call. Right now, we have Dan in Pennsylvania. And of course, he's mentioning that so many people are talking about money. And, of course, he says that the best currency we can have is the Holy Spirit, which will have eternal value, and I certainly wouldn't disagree with that at all. Go right ahead, Dan.
Yeah, when Dr. Stan, when you look back in Isaiah, Ezekiel, and then you go through what Christ said, and you go through Daniel, and, I mean, I've kind of looked through these things, and when you're saved, you know, you go through a lot of hardships, and it is stressful to see your dollars in your IRA. You know, the baby boomers were one of the greatest saving people because they were told to save, and they were given vehicles to do that, IRAs, pensions, 401(k)s and all that, and they were lied to. They were deceived, and now it's getting robbed from them, and they're all distraught. Well, have hope. Look up. When you see these things happen, your redemption is near.
Well, Dan, I agree with everything you're saying, but I do what I do, and I talk about health, and I talk about finance, and I talk about history, and I talk about history, and I talk about certainly what's going on today, but I do this to get people listening and so that they will tune in on a regular basis. But the underlying theme of everything we do is talking about the spiritual forces which are behind this, and hoping that first of all, for Christians, we'll draw them closer to the Lord, and if they're not Christians, they're going to begin looking into this, and certainly we've got a number of things we carry to bring people into realization of the spiritual battle that's going on. We've got a great new set. It's, I think, 10 DVDs and 2 sets, just the final countdown, going into the prophecies that were made thousands of years ago and how they're all coming to pass today. But you know, if I was just doing nothing but preaching the gospel, people wouldn't be listening.
I understand that.
When we do it with a purpose in mind. And the ultimate goal, I mean, I don't spend 5 hours a day on the radio just to entertain myself. I do it because I hope that some of the people out there are going to have their lives transformed, and they're going to draw much closer to the Lord, and they're going to need this realization, because things are going to get terrible. And I will tell you one thing, and that is, for the first time in many years, people are beginning to listen. I talked to a gentleman today who talked to me about, he called me, and he was just saying that, you know, he always talks to people. He lives in Colorado, but he said now for the first time, people are listening, because they know something's wrong. They're looking for answers, and he's been listening for a long time. He understands what's going on, and hopefully he'll touch those lives. I can only touch a certain number of lives. He can touch an awful lot of lives just as you can. So we have to make people know there's a problem, and then, of course, we can give them this real solution.
Well, Dr. Stan, there's a very interesting phenomenon that happened after 9/11. Everybody started having American flags on top of their cars, flying around with them, you know, driving. And church attendance increased by 60%. Well, that's kind of worn off now. And now, you see, I believe it was a man you had on your show said, people aren't going to start looking until there's a crisis situation that they have to look at. And, you know, through that crisis situation and your show, I mean, my voice on your show is going to who knows where, satellites and everything. And I appreciate that. And I really want to thank you for the opportunity to do that. And this is something that our lay your treasures not on corruptible things on earth, but in those things that are in heaven that will never corrupt.
Amen to that. Okay, fine. Anything else?
Okay, well, no, I just wanted to get a point across that, yes, we need a physical sustenance, and we need a way to do things. And I realize that's important to a lot of people, and, you know, it's important to me as well as you. There's a higher standard that can work with, and the blessings of God are greater than gold and silver.
Right, absolutely.
They come from who knows where, you know, we know where, but...
Okay, I certainly agree with you, and we always like to stress that, you know, you make all the physical preparations you have, and you need to, but in the final analysis, why? It's a spiritual battle, and only our faith in God is going to get us through the terrible things that lie ahead, because I think terrible things do lie ahead for this country, and we look and see what's happening. And we hear all of the explanations for what's happening, you know, in the derivative market and the falling housing market and the stock market and the companies closing. But nobody ever talks about God. Do you notice that?
Well, the demons are roaming, and the media doesn't do that, and the churches of this world don't do that either.
All right. Well, our job, at least we've got a voice, and as long as we've got a voice, we're going to
use it. Yes, we do, Dr. Stan. I hope your voice is long and strong, because I want to be beside you on... You know that.
God bless you. Thank you so very much,
Dan.
Thank
you so much.
And,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. That was Dan calling. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you and get your thoughts. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, I have open lines until we can get Peter Schiff on. I hope we can get him on. I'm looking forward to talking to him. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, what we are seeing today is the end result of a fiat money system and a fractional reserve banking system and the creation of massive credit. And people really don't understand how this is done. But let's imagine we start with $10 and I deposit in the local bank. The bank can then lend out $9 of that. They only have to keep a dollar to back up the $10 I have deposited there. Now, somebody can come in and borrow that $9 and take it to another bank and deposit it there, and that bank can now lend out $90. And then, of course, somebody can buy that $90 and take it to another bank, and they can lend out $900, and then $9,000, and then $90,000, and then $900,000, and then $9 million. And that's what the fractional reserve system really does. It just compounds. But you see, it's all based upon $1. Well, what happens if something happens to that $1 that the first bank was holding? That's the basis of the $9 million that's out there in the economy. Well, of course, with that $1 gone, why, of course, the whole financial house of cards comes tumbling down. And people don't understand how this works. And that was, of course, what was so amazing about the derivative contracts, that the bankers were allowed to write derivative contracts, which are insurance policies, guaranteeing faulty financial transactions. And if they wanted to do that, I mean, it was a stupid thing to do, but they weren't required to have any financial background or any financial backing for the insurance policies they wrote. They call them derivatives, but they were insurance policies. And we can thank Mr. Henry Paulson, who in the year 2004, led a contingent of bankers to Washington, D.C., and convinced the Securities and Exchange Commission that banks would act responsibly. They didn't need to keep reserves on hand. And as a result, many of these banks were leveraging 30, 40, 90, to one as far as their lending, and it wasn't simply 10% reserves, it was maybe 2% reserves. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and give us a call if you have a question. We'd love to talk to you, and I think our guest is on the line, and his name is Peter Schiff. Hey, thank you so very much for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And certainly, I've read some of the material you have, and some of the reading one of your books you've written, and you've been trying to warn people for a long time that there were real problems out there, and the real problems were coming. I was reading the book you wrote in 2006, but I will let you pick up the story and tell our listeners what's really happening and why the whole economic house of cards is coming down around us.
Well, I mean, basically, I mean, what we're experiencing now is not the problem. What we're experiencing now is the consequences of the problem. You know, the fact that real estate prices are falling, stocks are falling, companies are going bankrupt, the credit is drying up, people are losing their jobs. This is all the consequences of the problem. The problem was building up for many, many years, but the bottom line is, as a society, we simply consumed too much and borrowed too much money to pay for it. And while we were doing that, we built up this phony economy that was centered around consumer spending. We built this service sector economy. Well, the real economy, the industrial base of our economy, was disintegrating. And so now we have this completely phony economy that only can exist as long as we can borrow and spend money. But since we can't, because we're now too broke, we can't pay back the money we've already borrowed, so we certainly can't borrow anymore, this whole phony economy is collapsing around us, and it needs to happen. So what's happening now is a necessary process. We're going to have a lot of unemployed people for a while. We're going to have businesses go under, so that these people can be reemployed and new businesses can be formed that will be economically viable. But, you know, the problem is the government doesn't understand the problem. They're trying to interfere with the free market solution. They're trying to recreate the phony economy that we had, and it's impossible to do. But all this stimulus and all these bailouts are merely going to delay and exacerbate the problems that we have and make it that much harder for a viable economy to ever reemerge in this country.
Well, of course, if they had just left things alone, things would have collapsed. We would have had a hard time for a year, maybe a year and a half. And then the genius of a free society would come back. But we really don't have a free society. We have so many rules and regulations. We have no tariffs to keep
course.
Up.
And, had the government not interfered in the economy in the first place, we never would have had the gigantic housing bubble, the consumption bubble. We would have had a more solid economy were it not for all the government interference that distorted the market, that led to all the excess consumption, and it was really the result of irresponsible monetary policy, misguided regulations and fiscal policy that encouraged speculation, that created moral hazards, that removed the downside for risk-taking. And now the government is continuing to pile more moral hazard on with all the bailouts. And, of course, the stimulus packages are designed to merely encourage more excess consumption funded by debt, which is the source of our problems.
And, of course, they've given really trillions of dollars away. I mean, I was just reading there's an article appeared recently. You know, we're just going into the real figures. Everybody talks about the $700 billion and horrified by the TARP program. But they've been given money out all this last year. Like it was going out of style. And where's all this money coming from?
They're borrowing some of it from the Chinese and the Japanese, but a lot of it is just simply getting printed. And so it's coming out of thin air.
And
so it's not real. It's simply creating inflation. It's debasing the value of our money. We haven't been able to see that effect yet because there's been some temporary demand for the dollar during this deleveraging process. But once that ends, then I think the dollar is going to drop like a stone.
But this is not just localized in America. This is all throughout the world, isn't it? I understand things are terrible over in Europe, too.
Well, look, it's a global problem because we owe a lot of people a lot of money. And, you know, we're the biggest debtor. We're broke. So the creditors all around the world are suffering a bit. But this is going to be a financial crisis for the rest of the world. It's an economic crisis for us. The rest of the world will lose some money and then go about their way. And, you know, they still have viable economies. They still have industrial economies. They still produce. They still have all their factories, their productive capacity. They still have people that are working in meaningful jobs that are earning money and saving money. So they're still okay. It's the United States that has to go through a very painful transformation. And unfortunately, the government is making sure that it's a lot more painful and it takes a lot longer.
And, of course, one of the big problems is we've lost our industrial base. People don't understand there's been an organized effort to ship our industrial base offshore.
Well, we've lost it. I don't think it's been an organized effort. I think it's been the unfortunate consequences of all the bad policy. But, we definitely have to, rekindle an industrial base and rebuild it. There's a lot of people that think that we don't have to make things. They think that we've evolved beyond industrial economy, that we're some high-tech service sector economy, but that was all a myth. You can't be a service sector economy if you want to consume manufactured products because you have to have a way to pay for those manufactured products. You just can't keep running deficits and pretend that you're paying for your imports.
Well, but certainly we've given special tax breaks to our major corporations that have moved overseas. That doesn't make sense.
No, I mean, most of what the government does doesn't make sense. You know, that's why we need the government to get out. We need the government to be neutral. We need the government to get smaller. We need a government that shrinks. Of course, Obama is going to make the government bigger, which is going to create even more problems. And, you know, we're broke. We can't even afford the government we have, let alone the government Obama wants to create.
And Nancy Pelosi is talking about a new $500 billion stimulus program going to be ready by the 20th.
Well, they're talking about it, the way I heard it, was a $1 trillion program.
Maybe these guys
don't even care. And when that one doesn't work, they're going to come up with another one. You know, every time they stimulate the economy, they actually hurt the economy. They make the problem worse. And then the solution is, I guess we need a bigger stimulus. And so the more damage they do, the more damage they're going to do.
Well, I share your concern. But, you know, we talk about $500 billion, trillion. We throw these figures around. They have no meaning. And yet, of course, you stop and think how hard it is to accumulate, $100,000 for the average individual. And our leaders just throw this money around like it's going out of style.
Well, it's going to go out of style. That's the problem. Well, if they keep printing like this, the money will have no value.
Well, do you actually see a runaway inflation coming to the United States?
Unfortunately, that is the direction in which we're headed. I mean, unless the government changes policies 180 degrees, we are headed to runaway inflation.
Well, is there any way to actually have a solid money that will retain its value as long as, of course, you have the Federal Reserve System that can...
Yeah, there's a way to do it, but right, you know, the government is certainly not, you know, moving in that direction right now.
Well, how? What are your suggestions? Because I know you've done a lot of thinking about this, a lot of talking about it. What can the average person out there in the listening audience do?
Well, I mean, the only solutions that I've come up with that are viable are ways to protect your own wealth, which is what I do at Euro Pacific Capital, which is my brokerage firm, which is for people to understand that the dollar is going to collapse, that our money is going to lose value. And so people who have money, who have savings and investments, need to, you know, reorganize their portfolios and get rid of U.S. dollar assets, whether they're stocks, bonds, money markets, CDs, and just invest abroad, invest in foreign economies, foreign bonds, foreign stocks, commodities, precious metals, things that will retain their value. But, you know, as far as politically, I mean, what can we do to alter the course that we're on? You know, there's not much we can do, really. I mean, you know, writing your congressman, protesting. I mean, Ron Paul ran. You know, he had the right ideas. He understood the problems. But, you know, it didn't really do much good because, he didn't get anywhere. And his agenda, you know, never really made it into the Republican platform. It's not, you know, Barack Obama is not looking towards, Ron Paul for his input into these problems as probably the only member of Congress that understood what was going to happen. They're certainly not, calling me or any of the other people who seem to have, understood what was going to happen. They're continuing to rely on the same people who created the problems, who didn't understand the problems, who didn't see this disaster coming. These are the people that they're going to for solutions. And, of course, since they don't understand the problem, it's no doubt that their solutions are making the problems worse.
Well, some people say that things are, they're going to throw enough of money at it that things are going to get a little bit better for
humans. No, they're going to get worse. Printing money does not solve the problems. If it did, there'd be no poverty in the world. I mean, any country can print money. I mean, if you can solve problems like that, wouldn't life be wonderful? But, printing money doesn't create any real wealth. It just debases the value of money and forces prices to rise.
Oh, I agree with you totally. And, of course, I'm thinking of people like Jim Poplava, who I have a lot of respect for, and he said that things get a little bit better before they really fall apart. And, of course, there's no better way to destroy a nation than to debase the currency, to destroy the currency. And it seems like that is exactly what Henry Paulson and Ben Bernanke are doing. And certainly,
yeah, and I don't think it's deliberate. I just think these guys are incompetent. I think they've gone to government schools. They've been indoctrinated into Keynesian economics, and they don't know what the hell they're talking about. I mean, they're just doing everything by the seat of their pants. They think if they just do this or that, or tinker here, or print there, or, that they'll bail it out, and they're, just bumbling their way into ruin.
Well,
and unfortunately, of course, everything they're doing is illegal. I wish the judges would enforce the Constitution and stop what's going on.
Well, I wish there were a few people out there who understood the Constitution enough. I do think we've got maybe one or two people on the Supreme Court who understand the Constitution, but that's all. All the rest of them seem to be very pragmatic in their approach. Well, certainly, you mentioned, would you like to get your telephone number out? Tell people a little bit about
it. Yeah,
sure.
If people want to learn the types of strategies that I think will help protect wealth during the next, 5 to 10 years, you can go to my website at www.europac.net, EUROPAC.net, or you can certainly call and speak to one of my brokers. We have 6 offices nationwide. The toll-free number is 800-727-7922, 800-727-7922.
Well, are there European or certainly developing nation stocks that are safe to be in today? Because so many have seen...
Well, I mean, look, in the short run, I mean, nothing is safe in this market as far as, the fact that stocks can go down. I mean, everybody is selling everything right now. There is no safe haven, in the short run. But in the long run, if you have a long time horizon, the values around the world are incredible, I think. I think it's probably the best time I've seen in my career to be a buy and hold investor if you have a long time horizon, because the valuations are incredible right now. The dividend yields are just through the roof, and it's a wonderful, wonderful time to have liquidity and be able to buy when everybody else is selling and everybody else is fearful.
Well, that, what's that old saying about buying when there's blood running in the streets?
Yeah, well, that's pretty much that's what's going on. But
right.
I still think that, you know, that's not the case in the U.S. I think the U.S. market still remains expensive. It's not as expensive as it was, but it's certainly, you know, not cheap like you can find outside the U.S.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you're out there in the listening audience, you'd like to talk to Peter, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. And certainly, the whole, heard a great deal about what Jimmy Rogers is saying. He seems to be saying very much what you're saying, and that is get out of dollar-related assets.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy Rogers has been preaching the same message as me for some time. He certainly walks the walk. Not only did he alter his investments, but he actually moved and left the country and moved to Singapore based on some of the problems he saw coming here. But yeah, look, you know, the writing's been on the wall for a long time, if anybody's been, you know, astute enough to read it. You know, it's just that most people didn't understand it, didn't even know it was there, and so they've been blindsided by the events that have taken place, and they're going to be completely amazed or in shock by what's going to happen over the next few years.
Well, what about, are there any currencies out there that are really safe today? I mean, I heard Jimmy Rogers talking about being in Swiss francs and
yeah,
Japanese.
Yeah, I mean, it's a relative, you know, which currencies are going to lose the least amount of value, you know, and you know, there's that old saying that, you know, currencies that, don't float, they all sink at different rates, and so you want to own the currencies that are going to sink the slowest.
All right.
But you also want to own real money, which is gold. So, you know, we diversify among some of the Asian and European currencies and have precious metals.
And what about gold and silver stocks? Do you think they might be a good investment?
Well, I mean, I thought so for a long time. I own a lot of gold stocks myself that have been, you know, really beaten up, you know, this year, surprising me. You know, I've been holding gold stocks for many, many years. And I think, you know, this decline is a real opportunity for people who missed the boat, who didn't buy these stocks a few years ago, and, you know, they can actually buy them now even cheaper. You know, I bought some of these stocks, you know, 8 years ago, so some of the gold stocks I own are still quite a bit higher than what I paid, but I certainly bought more gold stocks a year or two ago thinking that they would go even higher in this current environment, and I was wrong on that for the short run. So, you know, but I don't think I'm wrong in the long run. So I think it's just an unexpected buying opportunity. I'm taking advantage of it. I'm buying more gold stocks, and, you know, other people should definitely look at this space, especially if you're a risk-oriented investor, because there's not much in the way of dividend yields on these gold stocks right now. But I think there is a lot of upside potential if I'm right on what happens to the price of gold.
Well, I feel better because I'll tell you what, I've certainly made some terrible mistakes myself. But anyway, let's go to Jim, who's calling us from West Virginia. Jim, do you have a question for our guest?
Oh, yes, maybe one sentence. How is wealth produced? From Adam Smith, 1776.
What's that?
How is wealth produced? Not money, wealth.
Wealth is produced because of production and, you know, capital, and capital comes into existence because of underconsumption, savings. So.
Well, Adam Smith,
and that is encouraged based on, you know, sound money and, you know, limited government and all that.
Well, Adam Smith said it this way. You produce wealth when you take something of little or no value and increases for value as a result of human endeavor. And all wealth is ultimately dug out of and thrown out of the ground. So everybody's paying attention to money instead of wealth production. You've made the point. But here's the situation. This was by design. My dad knew two of the chiefs of staff during World War II. He wrote some of the military training manuals. He was a sole patent agent for Union Carbide. He was on a first-name basis with the CEO at that time. This was by design. He knew from the inside what was going on. That's why Carbide went overseas. It's called
okay, Carbide. Fine. Well, I appreciate so much your call.
Yeah, I just don't see why, you know, who would deliberately try to undermine and destroy the U.S. economy. And if somebody set out to do it, I just don't really think that anybody was in a position to actually accomplish it. You know?
Oh, yes, globalists. Yes, my dad woke me up 43 years ago. Okay,
fine. Thanks so much, Jim. And, of course, Jim can call in here on my program, but when we have Peter Schiff, we want to hear what he has to say, not what necessarily I have to say. But I will be doing an open line program this evening at 8 o'clock Pacific time, so if our caller would like to call back, we'd love to hear what he has to say. Anyway, we have Gary calling in from Seaside. Hi, Gary. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes. Hold on. Let me take you off the speaker. I just didn't. Are you there?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. You know, he mentioned that he thought it was that the actions that were going on at the top in the Fed and with the folks that are providing the bailouts and stuff are just acting out of ignorance. You know, my thought is that this is not out of ignorance at all, and I think it seems to me that they're using they can't be this stupid.
Well,
they can't not know that.
Well, unfortunately, I think that they are. But you know, although some of it might not be, some of it could be the fact that there's a lot of politics involved, and it's possible that some of the people in Washington actually understand that they're making the situation worse, but for political reasons, they're doing it anyway. So, I mean, it's hard to tell whether they're, you know, how much of it is incompetence and how much of it is just outright lies. It's probably a combination of both, you know, and certainly there are probably some people that are genuinely stupid and don't know, and there are probably other people who know and are just keeping their mouth shut or just, you know, going along with the politics of it.
In fact, I think that Ron Paul's story about talking to Alan Greenspan about the essay he wrote in 1966 on gold and something, gold and economics or something of that sort. And I mean, it's a wonderful essay. And when asked about it recently by Ron Paul, Alan Greenspan said, "I would never change one word of that." So you have to wonder why he did what he did. We'll be right back. Well, Peter, we've got about 3 minutes for to wrap up the program, and then I'm going to let you go on. Are you on the East Coast?
Normally I am, but right now I'm out in California.
All right, fine. Well,
I've got my own radio show coming up in about 8 minutes.
All right,
so
fine. Well, we will let you go in 3 minutes. And where are you actually heard? Where is your radio broadcast?
Oh, it's on the Internet and on my website. I mean, it's on my website and on shortwave.
All right, fine. And certainly, well, I know you have an excellent listening audience, and certainly you're right very, very clearly about what's going on. For the average person out there, you know, who's listening to our program, what would your advice be to them right today?
Well, I mean, the advice I have, again, is just to get out of the dollar. Do not to be the patsy. Do not, you know, wait to be left holding the bag for all the stimuluses and all the bailouts. Understand that inflation has a consequence, it has a cost. The costs are borne by people who have savings, who have investments, who earn wages. And so what you need to do is you need to take action where you can to protect your wealth and protect your savings by getting out of a currency that is being deliberately debased to bail out all the incompetent people in this country. And so take actions, you know, either through your own brokerage firms, contact my company, Euro Pacific Capital, let us help you to rearrange your portfolios. But do what you need to do, and you know, if you want to try to get active politically, I mean, you know, more power to you. I think, you know, at this point, there's not enough people out there that understand this, but you never know. I mean, maybe 4 more years of hellish economic conditions in this country might wake up a few more people to understand that the government is the source of our problems, not the solution to our problems.
Well said. Well, of course, I do 5 hours of talk radio today on. We have actually 4 different networks. We do a weekend program as well. And so perhaps we can get you onto some of our other programs, because I'd like people to hear what you have to say. But I do believe that we may very well have the finest opportunity we have ever had to reach people. I've been at this for 46 years trying to wake people up. I finally decided there's no sense just talking to the people. You know, the other doctors, I was a physician, they didn't want to hear the program problems. Of course, they wouldn't listen, and look what's happened to medicine. But under any circumstances, I think we have a wonderful opportunity to reach people across America, and that's what we've got to do. We've got to use the time we have allotted to wake them up, and I think they're going to listen better than they have before.
All right.
Anyway, God bless, and thanks very much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye. All right, fine. And who do we have on the line? I guess we lost. Who do we have on the line?
I'm here.
Who is that?
This is Gary in Seaside.
Okay, fine. And Gary, we're out of time. I appreciate so much your calling. If you'd like to call in this evening, I really think they know exactly what they're doing, too. And I think Alan Greenspan knew exactly what he was doing.
That's the question I was going to pose again. I think that it's a deliberate act. Yeah, I think that they're flying under the radar with this.
Well, I think you're right. And why don't you call in this evening at 8 o'clock program? Bye bye.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope that you're out there and the listening audience. Why, and you agree with this? Why, you'll certainly want to get more information. We've got a great little pamphlet. It's called The Financial Meltdown, and it goes into the background of what caused where we are today. In fact, my latest newsletter deals with that same subject. It's called Financial Chaos, and we've got a 4-tape set on the Financial Armageddon. We've got Sydney. Books on this. We have The Creature from Jekyll Island back in print. We have and we have copies available. I will tell you that we got the 5 cases in. We sold 50 of them in 1 weekend. It's that good a book. A demand from all over the world. And then, of course, we have the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy. We have the book entitled Fiat Money, Inflation in France. And then, of course, we have my talk on the financial tsunami and the syllabus that goes with that, and we recommend this. It's a talk we gave a couple of years ago, but nothing's changed. We have a fraudulent monetary system. People know we have a fraudulent monetary system. And they know how to correct the system, and they're not doing it. And we have to ask, why would rational people do irrational things? And of course, Cindy, we hope Gold and Freedom, I think, was the title of the essay that was written by Alan Greenspan. Gold and Freedom. Go up on the internet, pull it down, read it through. It will give you a tremendous amount of information, and the question then arises is, why did Alan Greenspan do everything wrong? And Sydney, I told this story before, but apparently Paul had told it at a recent dinner meeting, telling about going up to Alan Greenspan after one of the House Banking Committee sessions, and Alan Greenspan had been testifying, and Ron Paul asked Alan Greenspan if he still agreed with what he'd written in his 1966 essay, Golden Freedom. And Alan Greenspan's response was, I just recently reread that article, and I wouldn't change a word of it. I think that says more than anything Alan Greenspan ever said when being questioned by the House Banking Committee. He knew exactly what he was doing, and he understood what was happening in the fiat money system, and he was going right along with it. The question is, why? Well, the little pamphlet we have on the financial meltdown gives you my opinion, a possibility. I'm not saying I'm right, but it's well worthwhile getting that pamphlet. And so you can certainly get the pamphlet and then the other pamphlet on the history of money. And you need to understand the history of money, how central banks work, and that they are a government unto themselves. And certainly we may elect a president, but the people who control the president are the central bankers. That's the way it always is. We'll give you the references to Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, where he tells you that. In his book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, which incidentally we do have back in print, but was actively suppressed for many years. We have an interview with Professor Quigley where he tells about how his book was suppressed. Why was it suppressed? Well, I think it's because he explained banking. And that's the one thing they don't want the American people to understand. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927 or 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we hope you'll go to our website and pull down the programs we have posted there, and you'll hear the programs there go back archive for about 6 weeks. We have blog programs. We have MP3 programs. We have our satellite feeds. You can listen 9 hours a day or 4 hours a day to the live programming. The information is there. We want you to get it. We want you to get other people to get the information. You can go to our website and watch our DVDs. There's lots of DVDs. There's links to our YouTube clips that I think are important. And then, of course, we have the talks on CD from our last conference on October 26th. If you'd like to get them separately or all together, if you want to know about the oil deception, of course, you can get my talk, the syllabus that goes with that, and of course, you can get the DVD, The Energy Non-Crisis. The information is there. We do hope that you will get the information and of course, that you will utilize it and help us to educate others. And then, of course, I hope you'll get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and understand the spiritual component of what's going on. Please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.